Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Untangled, Unraveling the Lies Religion Tells Us About God and Ourselves. And I'm Lauren Rosser, and I'm here with my good friend from Sacramento, California, David Fredrickson. Hey David.
Hey Lauren, good to be back again.
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah, it seems like 2 weeks go past like nothing.
It does. I know, I can't believe that it's already been 2 weeks.
I know. Wow. So, have you had a good 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's been interesting because I think the thing that I'm really seeing is that we were talking about this before we started the podcast. You know, it was funny because I was kind of looking like for the grandiose things, you know, God is doing, and was kind of like almost in this mindset that, well, there's not really much happening. And then I started looking at the little things around me, and I just started thinking about conversations I've had with people at work and some relationships with some, like my daughter's boyfriend, that there's been a real friendship between me and him being established, and kind of went, you know, there actually is a lot happening. It's just not on a grand scale, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how, we've been taught in Western Christianity to look at everything on a grand scale. You know, everything that is really counts to anything is big. You know, especially if you've been a pastor and that kind of thing, you've been in leadership in that way, you know, they're always looking for the big. You're always looking for the big vision, the big crowd, the big church, the big event, the big.
Right.
And it's, I'll tell you, it's amazing how you have to deprogram from all of that and re-educate yourself that, wow, no, it's the everyday life that counts. You know, it's actually the little things that God does big things with that we might not even see.
You know, and I think one of the things that really trips us up or has been used almost against us and put an enormous pressure on people is I think of those verses where it talks about, the harvest is plentiful, or you hear the verses about, in Acts when the 5,000, came to Christ. Yeah. And so those have become like measuring sticks of like, well, if you're bearing fruit, it means there's just going to be enormous things happening around you. So there's this sense that if I don't see enormous things happening around me, then I'm not bearing fruit. I'm not doing God's work. That numbers becomes a measuring stick of how significant we are in the kingdom. Mm. And so that puts a lot of pressure. And so people who are in a place where they just feel like, oh, I'm just a regular person. So I think that's why there even comes this thing to attach themselves to something big, whether it be like a mega church or a successful ministry or, something that's doing something big, because then it's like, I'm fulfilling those verses. I'm supposed to be fruitful. I'm supposed to be engaged in something big. But, it's interesting because one of the things that blessed me tremendously was a few years back, I remember Wayne Jacobson was addressing this kind of more directed at creative type people who like were aspiring authors or musicians and, that kind of thing. And he was talking about how, there's this sense that you're not legit unless you're big. And our society really views it that way, that you're not really a great musician unless you're on the top 40 list or, that kind of thing. And yet he shared how some of the most beautiful flowers ever on the planet are bloom in places where nobody sees them but God. Hmm. They're totally in secret. And yet it's God still appreciates the beauty of that flower. Yeah. And so our beauty before him and our worship to him, and when I use the word worship, I don't mean it in the sense of a Sunday morning worship service. I mean in the sense of, as the word really indicates, intimacy to him, is in the place of that it's, I'm with him and it's to him, and it's okay if it's just him and maybe a couple other people who appreciate what God's placed in us.
Yeah.
Our value isn't based in the numbers.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, most people, if you said that, they'd say, oh, yeah, I understand that. But it's amazing where our intellect doesn't always connect with our emotions, you know, and what we really know inside. And so it's the idea of having to be big or numbers or whatever the case may be is still very strong in most people. No matter what they hear or no matter what they would agree with that they hear, there's still this sense of significance being attached to bigness. Or even sometimes, you know, something even being valid, it has to be big. And yet, it's actually who we are, you know, as we walk in love, that can cause a reaction, a chain reaction in, who knows, it could go to hundreds of people and you would never know it. You know, it's like we want to know it. We want to be validated. And yet just being who we are, being where we are when God wants us there, you know, walking in His Spirit is a huge thing because it's going to create life wherever you go. And you don't have to see it. That's the whole deal. You don't have to see it. And I think even in some of the big miracles that Jesus did, like feeding the 5,000, you know, with the loaves and the fishes, I think really the point of those miracles is the five loaves and two fishes. Or was it two loaves and five fishes?
Now I'm on the spot because I don't remember either. I think it's two fish and five loaves. Okay. I think. I don't know. Well, wait a minute. Would a little boy eat five loaves?
Have you been reading your Bible? Anyway, I think the fact it's those that are really an example of something small and simple and common. You know, because those were, that was a common lunch. You know, that was just a common thing. Probably barley loaves, you know, the cheapest kind. And a couple of fish that were caught. Just, you know, and it's like, but it was the multiplication of that. And so, you know, it's like in walking with Him, no matter what He has you do or not do, if you're walking in His Spirit, your life is given over to Him, then there's going to be a multiplication of what you do. And seeing it is not the point. In fact, if we did, it would distract us and give us a big head, you know?
Interesting.
But it's like walking in humility before Him and not knowing. And that's what's so incredible to me is that, wow, you know, it's He is a big God. I mean, you can't even, it sounds stupid even to say that because He's immeasurable. You know, He's immeasurable. And His love is immeasurable. His love is unsurpassable. And so you can't measure Him. And yet we live in a time, a place of space and time where everything's measured. But when you walk hand in hand with an immeasurable God, whatever He does is immeasurable. You don't have to see it. And you can't measure it. Because even what you can measure, you only see that amount. You don't see anything else, you know. And I don't know. I think it would be so encouraging to us if we were able to see in the Spirit, you know, without our pride. It would blow our minds.
You know, you got me thinking about how we seem to highlight certain parts of the New Testament where they're more actiony, you know, kind of like how we would watch a TV show. You know, you remember the highlights of the movie, the action parts, but you don't particularly pay attention to a whole lot of the slower dialogue and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we look at the New Testament is we look at all the water into wine, the walking on water, you know. But even then, who saw Jesus walking on water? Yeah. It was 12 people. Exactly. You know, it wasn't an auditorium. And then you think of like how much of what's recorded in the New Testament was just Jesus talking. It was just Jesus talking to people who were around Him, and somehow it's probably because of the backgrounds we come from, we picture these big numbers of people. Yeah. And yet we don't picture that, why is this all recorded in the book of John? Well, because John was there. Mm-hmm. He was the guy he was talking to, you know, in huge amounts of that. So it would be like if you're hanging out with if everybody just kind of thought of like one of their best friends, and you actually like wrote a book about their life, and you wrote about all the conversations you had. Hmm. You know, you would have these conversations that stand out, and people can misinterpret, you know, oh, these were in front of large groups of people or whatever. And it's like, no, these were sitting at the coffee table or in the car, or, you know, and with Jesus, these were walking around and having dinner and just living life. So much of these conversations, they weren't these big dramatic settings like in the Jesus movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting when you said that about what Wayne said about people that write a book or whatever, because now you're talking about the Bible, you know, and this whole thing about, yeah, people, all this knowledge about them happened after they were dead, you know.
Oh, right. That's
Jesus
true.
Never walked more than 30 miles from his town. And so, you know, all these incredible ideas of hugeness, you know, are something that, again, we've gotten in our minds, in our humanistic thinking of what big is. Because even present day people, you take, say, Oswald Chambers, okay? Yeah, I just thought of him when you said that about the book, because I was thinking of His Utmost for His Highest, that devotional.
Yeah.
Became the widest read devotional in the world, you know? Well, that was just gathered from talks he had given at a college where he taught. And so it was gathered later and published. Of course, he wasn't alive at the time.
Oh, and wow. So,
and that happens with all kinds of, you know, as far as writing and books go. But most of what happened in, you know, you look at Paul.
I was just going to bring him up.
I mean, there he was, you know. I mean, he didn't have a change of underwear at times, you know, and he had to defend his calling. You know, because people said, well, he's not a good speaker, you know. He stutters or whatever when he speaks, and his speech is contemptible, you know. And his presence, I guess he was a, who knows, you know, because we don't have a good description by the way they talked about him. He must have been a scrawny little man with a limp, you know. and so it's like, so here he is having to defend his calling so that they would even listen to him. And yet now, you know, it's the great Paul the Apostle, you know, who wrote most of the Bible. And
right.
Once again, after he died, you know, after he died in prison.
Exactly. And do we really think that Paul, you know, he was sitting there in prison all alone and mostly abandoned, you know, writing a letter to one of the churches, and even when we say church, a small group of people that were meeting mm-hmm. in a house,
yeah.
You know, he's writing this letter to this little clump of people who were far away. Do we really think that he was sitting there going, I am writing the great Bible that will be read by millions?
Yeah.
He was sitting there going, I am really depressed. This sucks. I want out of prison. I don't like this. And then he goes on and talks about how he's suffering for the Lord, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. And so many people would say, oh, I'd love to be like Paul. I'd love to be like Paul. You know? Oh, let me tell you, I think there's such a misconception, you know, and you wonder what will be said, you know, as far as in eternity about so many of us, you know.
Right.
and about so many mega pastors, you know. I mean, you wonder what's going to be said. And not putting down mega pastors. I mean, hey, maybe some wonderful things will be said of some of them. But on earth, it's all about the largesse, you know, what can be seen. It's all about the exterior. And we've been called to live a life that is oftentimes obscure.
Yeah.
You know, and the great majority of all Christians have been called to live a life that's hidden. You know, it makes you think of intercession, for instance. I mean, there's probably, you know, and it's been said many times, but who likes to hear it, that there's more accomplished through prayer than anything else. You know, that probably more has happened through that. And so finally it got picked up on. Well, these intercessors are ignored, you know. And so some big people like Peter Wagner, you know, began making a big deal out of intercessors, you know. And so all of a sudden, all these people that didn't have, you know, they didn't have the talents or gifts or anything to have a public ministry, they became intercessors. And I'm not saying that some of them weren't, all right? Okay.
I have no talent. I'm going to go pray.
But it just became this big. And then so it became an intercessor movement. And then it got to a point where Wagner decided to, that there was actually a sixfold ministry. And one was the intercessor, and it was one of the most important that there was. Well, he did renege off of that after a while, so I'm glad. But
yeah.
But anyway, tons of intercessors, and then of course they would hear things from God, and now they become these prophets, you know, of hearing all of these things, and they would announce these great things, you know, and so they began to get recognition as an intercessor, and so you know, it's like. We don't want hidden ministry of any kind, you know. We want it to be out there. We want to see, this is what I've accomplished. Look what I have done.
Right.
Look at the power that I have built.
That's so true. It's because I think that there's something that happens when you embrace the small. It comes with a breaking down for you to be able to embrace that. It comes with a breaking down of your flesh.
Yeah.
You know, of being free from your flesh to embrace him and be willing to do what he's doing, you know, and so with that comes suffering.
Yeah.
You know, because right. That's how we get free from, I mean, let's face it, our flesh. I mean, I just had this conversation at work with someone. We were talking about how today, because working in TV, you know, we're constantly showing YouTube videos,
yeah.
You know, of the kids or teenagers or young adults are putting out. There's such a yearning to be noticed and to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drive, and I really think that that's a core in our flesh is
yeah.
to be, you know, to be famous, to mm-hmm. be loved by all, you know,
yep.
and that's only broken through a great deal of suffering.
Absolutely, you're so true. In fact, what is it in First Peter? Is it that says? I don't know the verse offhand. It says that he that has suffered in the flesh. Has ceased from sin. I mean, that's a pretty heavy scripture, you know?
Right.
And you know, but how many of us would love to be ceased from sin? I mean, this is what a wonderful thing, you know?
Right.
But he that has suffered in the flesh, you know, and in another place, and I know First Peter, it says, and it has been given unto us to suffer. Wow. I mean, how often do you hear that preached? You know,
that doesn't preach too good.
We could hear about, you know, giving to the suffering church and you know, and every once in a while, you know, those organizations that are into that come through to churches. But, you know, I don't think we even have an idea of what living that life is in the persecuted church, you know, in places where they're not only in poverty, but being burned, you know. At places we'd go in India where people were being burned to death and piles of bones of Christians. And, you know, and yet suffering is supposed to be a normal part of our life. I mean, I don't like that. Do you like that?
I hate that.
and that right there, that's physical suffering. But I mean, we're talking about internal is what you were starting. You know what you're starting
exactly
is the internal thing of your pride, of the whole self. You know, the death to self. I mean, we can't kill ourselves. You know, but you can say yes to God when He leads you down a path that is going to take you to obscurity or. Ridicule, you know, lack of finance, whatever.
Right.
You can walk down that path, and I'm telling you, internal suffering can be as painful as external, you know, as
right.
fleshly, you know, as having your flesh burned, you know.
I'm sitting here on the verge of laughing because I just remembered an experience. You know, you talked about suffering to cease from sin. One of the things, you know, how when I was a kid, my aspiration, I was conflicted between being the next Spielberg and between being a pastor. And as mm-hmm. we can tell, I've succeeded at neither.
So
I'm now gonna go cry myself to sleep. Goodbye. but no, the thing that's interesting is that, you know, because of having had those aspirations, and like you, how you made the decision to step down and put aside your salary, it was actually a bigger deal than I make it out to be when I made the decision to step out of ministry and that kind of thing. Because it was like, I remember having a thing of, are you willing to really give this up? You know, the dream you had of being a senior pastor, and I remember the feeling of, because I so love public speaking, of like, could you walk away from this? There's this little thing that sometimes will kind of like rise up in me of just a little bit of envy, you know, of like, I guess it's just that thing of like, wow, you know, to have a group of people you're speaking to every week, and you know, and they see you, and I'll just confess, they see you as spiritual, and you know, and where it's like the road that I've chosen, just like you said, the road you chose, you knew was going to be one of not, you know, having a good paycheck and stuff, you know, for me, the road I chose meant I was going to be ordinary guy, you know, and and that's, it's so funny because it's like how we both took a road that goes against like our flesh, you know. It's like for me growing up, you know, pastors were so highly esteemed and spiritual and, you know, all this stuff, and to like be on the road where, you know, in traditional congregations I'm a layman, you know, and it's like in my heart I'm anything but that, you know, and yet it's,
and then Bill over there, he helps us out there, you know, just layman.
And that's the thing that's always so funny is when I would get
like a dirty word,
and, right,
layman.
It is. And it's like there's it's funny though, because it's that same thing of like how the Pharisees would go, these are just fishermen. You know, and I get that same kind of thing where people are like, blah, 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 you know, you're just a video guy. You're a layman.
Yeah. What do you know about God?
But, you know, there's just always, there's that, it's not a temptation. That's not the right word. But, you know, it's just like, it's the, like you with that paycheck. There's just that thing of like, I could have taken that road. And I would, and I would have recognition, and I would, you know, at least people would recognize that I'm spiritual, you know?
Oh man, I'm telling you. It's just, although I did get sick of it in some ways. I mean, even in that little church, I mean, it was like, of course, before you came, you know, that there had been a point where it got to two services and stuff, but it was like, man, people just, it didn't matter what you did. They just put you on a pedestal no matter what you did.
Right.
You know, and it got to the point where you just go, you know, I mean, it's, you know, so there's that part of you that liked to be special, you know, but there's that other part that goes, oh man, if I could just be lost in the crowd.
Exactly. Well, remember how, who was it who wrote The Way Church Ought to Be? Robert Lund.
Oh, yeah.
He made this statement in the video that was so good. He goes, it's the tendency of a person to want to be the hero, and it's the tendency of the people to look for a hero.
Yeah.
And I've seen that more often than not, because it's like even people who start out wanting to be the hero, you know, over time, like what happened with me and you, reality sets in and you realize you're not, you meet the enemy and it's you. But it's interesting because I think that's a huge reason why even men who are humble and have a good heart, they set out to start something new and unique and, you know, all that, why they can't do it. It's not because it's necessarily them. It's because when they go to do it, people don't have the revelation. And so they look for that hero. And so they go in there and they start immediately putting him up on the pedestal. And that kind of thing, it starts to creep in. And then before you know it, they're speaking from that authoritarian position.
And
the people, it's not always we put so much blame on the pastors, and often it's the people who put them there.
Oh yeah, they want a king. They want a king. It's just it's just human nature. They want a hero and they want a king, you know. So when it comes to the spiritual thing, it's worse than it's bad enough when it's just a secular, you know. Has a bad enough effect on people, but then when it's in the spiritual realm, it's worse than ever because it distracts from God. And of course, the spiritual is the most important part of their lives and all that kind of stuff. So it's just merciless in its negativity, you know, as far as.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Well, everybody, unfortunately, we had to cut our podcast short. Those of you who were watching the news last Thursday know about the big storm that hit the Dallas-Fort Worth area with hurricane-like winds and everything. And while in the middle of recording our podcast, I lost electricity in my house here in Arlington, Texas. And the storm created quite a mess. So we had to stop the podcast. But we'll be back here in 2 weeks. And the awesome thing is we're going to be joined by author and speaker Wayne Jacobson. He just finished a new book called Finding Church that I actually think if there was one book besides the Bible I think every Christian should read, it's that book. I'd like to see everybody get a hold of that book because it really is a description and a picture of really what the Christian life is all about. It's a phenomenal book. And so I'm really looking forward to having him on the podcast next week. So be sure to join us then. Until then, we'll see you later.